Global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Aaron, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
This is only the beginning.
You just blew my mind.
Tinfoil Hat.
And welcome to another episode of Tinfoil Hat. Thank you guys for tuning in. We got a special episode for you here today. Thank you guys for all the feedback on the last two shows. They've been, the information I got has kind of changed my life. So I'm very excited about all the work we're doing. The shows coming up are pretty amazing. We have a giant episode about to drop on the 9th that's going to blow everybody's skull. So we'll announce that soon. We don't want to give it away too early, but today's episode's pretty amazing as well. We're very excited to have our guest on. We got shows coming up, everybody. Come support the live shows. If we pack out the live shows, then we get to come to your town and do a show with myself, Eddie, and if we can get them out there, XG and the place to be. Next Tuesday, which is the 26th, Comedy Chaos is live at the main room at the Comedy Store. We've got two shows. First show's got Joey Diaz, Brian Callen, Eddie Bravo, Jessamay Peluso, Brendan Schaub, and more. The second show, which is at 10:30, has Joe Rogan, Eddie Bravo, Brendan Schaub, Josh Wolf, and Kate Quigley. So go check out those lineups. Go to comedystore.com. They're only $25, and those shows will sell out. And then that weekend, proud to announce that we are at the, myself, XG, are going to Arizona with Eddie Bravo for the Waking Arizona tour. It's, we're going to be live at the House of Comedy on Thursday, the 28th. That's the House of Comedy. Go to az.houseofcomedy.net. Grab those tickets. And then Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night. We are in Tucson at the 191 Tool. Go to 191 Tool with an E.com and grab those tickets. Let's push those tickets, Tucson. Get us rocking out. We'll be able to come back earlier. Some shows this week that are going on. Go to Sam Tripoli on Tinfoil on Twitter or Instagram. I have shows tonight. I have shows tomorrow night in Ventura. And then Saturday night, it's myself, Chad Zumach, Florentine, Joe Bartnick, and we are at the Rec Room in Huntington Beach. So go grab those tickets. They told me they're moving quickly, so grab them now. Today's episode, we're just getting right into it, dog. Today's episode, I'm super excited to have this next artist on. He's a renowned rapper. He's worked with such amazing acts as the Wu-Tang Clan, Notorious B.I.G., DJ Quick, and the list goes on and on and on. I'm super excited to have him on. We've been going back and forth over the internet after fans suggest he get on. Please welcome R.A. the Rugged Man. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Oh, no problem. How you doing today? Everything all right?
I'm doing well. I totally appreciate you coming on the show. You, by the way, you look like one of my best friends from high school. It's almost crazy. I appreciate you coming on the show. You're in Vegas. You're shooting a music video. What song are you shooting it for?
Oh, it's a song off my next album that's not out yet. I'm trying to shoot all the videos ahead of time. So, you know, there's no stress. You put one out, you know, whenever you feel like it. So
when, how many albums you have out?
I have three albums official, but I have five albums official. You know, like I did an album for Jive, I did an album for Priority, and they're all over the world. I still perform those songs, but because of legal things and, you know, some blackball issues and problems, they're not officially released, so people go, oh, you only have three albums, but I have five, you know, five albums, yeah.
What do you think of the rap game right now? Where it's at? You enjoying it? You don't like it? Is it like a lot of things where you have your corporate acts and you like your underground that's kind of...
Well, you just got to ignore the bullshit rappers, you know, just like the news. You got to, you know, ignore the bullshit information, and you got to look for the real rappers. You got to look for the real information. So there's garbage all over the radio, and mediocrity gets praised day by every day. It's, you know, it's the dumbing down of culture. You know that. So especially when money gets involved, you dumb it down, you make it stupid for stupid people, and then more people buy it. So that's everything, though. So, you know, some of the greatest rappers ever are right now. Some like murderous, incredible, you know, rap musicians and lyricists exist right now. But, you know, they don't highlight those in the mainstream. Maybe an Interscope rapper will get that acclaim. Like, oh, he's the greatest because he's on Interscope or something, or like part of that machine. But like besides that, it's mostly a dumbed down, you know. But there's, you know, if you go on tour, there's brilliant, incredible MCs all over the planet. So, you know, the culture's not taking a hit. It's just that, you know, people that aren't in tune with what's going on think, oh, it's terrible because all this ignorant, terrible music. But yeah, terrible music always exists. You just got to get away from it, you know? Like if you go back to 1990, you know, no other music was number one in Billboard except for rap. It was like MC Hammer's album was number one for 40 weeks, and then Vanilla Ice album was freaking number one for like 28 weeks, and it was like all this pop music, and the hip-hop heads, we listened to Rakim and Public Enemy and didn't listen to the Ice Baby stuff, you know? So you just got to find, you know, what you mess with, you know? So.
For sure. The internet has helped or hurt the rap genre, I mean, like, or hip-hop genre. I know it's stand-up comedy. It's allowed people like myself who are like much more edgier than what television or any like some radio stations would want. So it's allowed me to get right to my peers. So has it helped or helped?
Yeah, of course it helps. 100% it helps, you know, of course. Because, you know, back in the day, say, let's take something like Big Daddy Kane on Cold Chillin' in 1988. You had to like ship... The label had to ship like boxes of posters to the record store, and like you had to, you know, have a machine behind you to kind of get you known worldwide. Now, you know, you make a video, you press a button on the fucking internet, release it to the world, and they're listening to your shit in Russia, they're listening to you in Spain, they're listening to you in Poland, they're listening to you in Africa from pressing a button. Now think about if you had to rely on a label shipping your shit to Africa and Poland, it's not getting there. They, how the fuck they gonna know who you are? They're not.
Right.
So right now, the whole world gets access to your art because of the internet. So of course it helps, you know?
Perfect.
And then some people's complaint is, but then all the garbage, you know, gets a platform too and all that. Yeah, but no shit. But, you know, are you scared of garbage? Ignore the garbage and make your gems, you know?
At least you can compete with it now.
What?
At least you can compete with it now. Back then, garbage was just coming out.
Well, what I'm saying is, super amateur stuff, even like stuff that's horrible for pop standards, you know, like you know, garbage gets like released, and it's like the snares are all weird, and it's not even like really musically, there's no musical gift to it, and like they'll be able to put their little thing out and people be like, wow, I like it, you know, but it's garbage. You know, it's like you know, but you know, so you don't pay attention to garbage and you look for the gems.
Yeah,
you know, that's it. That's yeah, all.
Spotify so. Help hurt Pandora
help. All of it helps. You know, it's access, because artists always make the money off of the touring, you know? And now you can make money off your merchandise and all of that stuff. So the more access the world gets to your craft and your art, the more you have open doors. So of course it's all helping. Every little inch of it helps, you know? Before, what you'd have to do, you'd have to sign a record deal and you'd have to, you know, give about 92% to the label and you'd have to recoup. So say they spend $1.5 million on you. You have to recoup all of that money out of your 8%. So they already made $2-3 million, and they're like, oh, you didn't recoup yet because you got to make the million out of your 8%.
Yeah.
So you know, you would still, even back in them days, if you were selling gold and platinum, you only made the money really off the shows. Unless you were selling 5-10 million, then your 8% started, you know,
meaning
good
something
for you. But so it was always shows. It was always about shows, you know?
Well, for sure, dude. I mean, like, I've been owning all my own albums for a very long time. On this show, I keep hitting the table, fucking making... I'm sorry, Aaron. When we talked about on the show the basic, you know, the history of music and how there's kind of been this time where a certain genre was moving really well, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, with no explanation... It just shifts, you know, when we talk about the 80s, there was kind of this empowered hip-hop rap where it's like it's empowering people, and then there's this kind of weird cut to this gangster rap and this hard push towards like drugs, sex, gang banging, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Where are we right now? Do you see that happen again where you see like the... Tekashi 6ix9ine, who's like in the witness protection program, is there an invisible hand, do you think, at work?
No, there always is. Corporations always, you know, put their invisible hand into it and push what they push. You know, that's always the thing, you know. So as far as the empowerment movement, in the 80s, you know, you had, you know, that came from the underground. That came from the Chuck D's and the KRS-One's and the Poor Righteous Teachers and the X-Clans. Oh, and the X-Clans and the Poor Right and the Poor Righteous Teachers, and you know, it came from that. So, you know, but if you want to go there, what was outselling all of it? Like I was saying, 1990, we date back to that. It was MC Hammer and Vanilla Ice. But the real heads would go listen to Brand Nubian. They'd listen to Grand Puba and Sadat X and Lord Jamar. They wouldn't listen to that other stuff, you know? So there's always the invisible hand sliding something else there to make, you know? And if you're talking about, like, the conspiracy about the CIA being involved in hip-hop and saying, hey, let's make sure that they're killing each other and
doing
and
drugs,
selling drugs in their own community,
crimes.
And it's the CIA. Honestly, you can't put nothing past the CIA ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Because you know who they are, you know what they are, and they do so much shady shit that we don't even know, you know, a fucking little cunt hair fraction of what the fuck they're really doing. But out of the stuff we do know that they do, you know, it's you know, lying, you know, killing, supplying drugs, murdering the black community. That's all real. It's all documented shit. So you never know.
Yeah, it's crazy, and that's what we kind of got into. Some fans hit me up and said I should try to get you on the show to talk a little bit about Agent Orange and that whole situation. And you know, I was doing some research into it, and it's very interesting, the whole thing about how, like, we're now going into countries because they're
I always say that
they're using chemical weapons on people.
It's funny. What you're saying right now, I say that every night at my show. I say like only the bad governments poison their own fucking people, right? No, right. No, we poison our own people. We fucking murder our own people. With Agent Orange, what it is, it's worse than killing you. Because what it does, it affects your fucking DNA. And we don't know how long it affects your DNA for. We don't know how many generations it goes, because it's not that long ago. So my father, his children were affected. We lost two babies. He lost his daughter and his son. And then my older sister had a healthy kid. And she was fine, right? But then she had a baby, and he died at 6 months old. So it went down to my father's grandchild. So we don't know if my dad's kid's kid, we don't know what the great-grandchildren, if they're going to be all healthy. And when I was having my two kids, the whole time I'm saying, oh, shit, you know, my brother and sister died. My nephew died. You know, my brother and sister, my sister couldn't walk or talk. My brother couldn't walk or talk, and he was blind.
Oh, my God.
And my nephew Vincent, my sister lived to 26, my brother lived to 10, and my nephew Vincent, he seemed like he was born healthy, and then like my sister knew it. She was like, nah, his hand's moving weird. And they're like, no, all mothers have this problem. And they thought, like, okay, there's sick kids in the family, maybe she's paranoid, who the fuck knows? But nah, then, you know, he just moved less and less, and finally at 3 months old, they were like, nah, he has this rare disease, and his body's gonna just stop working.
So
he lived till 6 months, and his body just got slower. And then, like, there'd be nights where he just turned blue and stopped breathing. And wow. We'd all be freaking out, crying. And then he'd live, and he'd be alive again. So, you know, that's...
that's hard,
and then
man.
Finally, the one day, you know, he stopped, and it was over. He stopped for good. So, and my father also, when he passed, he died of throat cancer. But they say, you know, people affected by Agent Orange are more prone to, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for, you know.
Susceptible?
Susceptible, there you go, intelligent guy there.
No, but I'm illiterate.
Susceptible to it. But, you know, my father was a smoker and all of that stuff, so I don't know how susceptible, if that was Agent Orange, but it was definitely my brother, my sister, and my nephew. And my father was documented in so many territories where they sprayed the chemical on their own people. You know, it was documented fact. It's not even, the government admitted to 6 different places that he was at. And he did secret missions every, you know, like hundreds of them. So it's more than 6 spots, but they admitted to 6 spots, you know, that they sent him, that they were poisoning their people. Yeah.
Unbelievable. Just like, and it's just like these people. I mean, all the time on the show, we look at this group of this elite group of people who have this kind of attitude of like, fuck it, man. You know, it's like we're going to do these things. People are going to die. People are going to get cancer. And they don't. They seem to have this detachment. And again, when we talk about Agent Orange, it's the same thing that about that lawn maintenance guy who just sued them for $300 million because his hands were riddled with cancer from the pesticides.
Yeah.
And it's just like they knew that was happening. They all.
But they don't care about that. None of them care about that because you know there's the control of the population. They know we're going to die. They don't care that we have cancer. They don't care that people die because that's the world. The world dies. We die. People die. Humans die. So if people getting sick and getting cancer and you know cancer's a $1 billion business and all of this stuff, none of them care about that. Let them all die. The faster the better, and let's keep doing what we do to get our money. You know, that's the world. That's why I look at the government will go, you know, murder 100 babies, 100 kids, 100, you know, civilians, you know, hundreds of thousands every day, you know, not every day, you know what I mean? But murder, because they don't care about life. Nobody cares about life. They have, in their mind, they're so elite that they have a bigger picture in their mind. Like, life is not important because people die. Life is not important. We are important. We and our mission is important, and what we leave is the important, and the money that we will make for our, you know, that's the important thing. So money isn't. Dead people and sick people and cancer is not important. You know, and look at Bayer, just bought Monsanto.
Yeah, Monsanto.
$2 billion or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, honestly, you know, it's funny I could tell the exact story that I just told you about my brother and sister dying and my nephew dying, all this stuff, and. People go, oh, conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
I was like, conspiracy theorist, motherfucker. I saw the corpses. That ain't no conspiracy, you know? But,
you know, it's very interesting. Yeah. The guys in the lobby who are all wonderful people, they go to me, what percentage of this stuff do you think is real? I go,
of all, Agent Orange?
Of any of it. Just like conspiracy. I go, like, what are we talking about? Agent Orange? We know that really happened. Weapons of mass destruction, there was none. We know that really happened. Like,
that they're spying on us. Imagine if you said that 10 years ago, they'd be like, you crazy motherfucker.
Yeah.
The government, you're paranoid. They're not watching you. They're not reading your emails. They're not on your cell. Of course they are, you stupid motherfuckers. What do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think?
They got mad when we found out.
Yeah.
Did they get mad?
Well, look what they're doing to Assange.
They're
treating
mad.
Him like he's fucking Satan, you know?
For letting us know what we should have known.
Yeah.
We had a guy on here who was a UFO expert, air quotes,
yeah.
In that he basically didn't believe in them. He was MI5, and he would just basically say he was sent on thousands of missions and didn't find any. Well, one, I doubt you would tell us if you did find something, because you're ex-spook, and two, it's just like, he basically had no problem with the prosecution of WikiLeaks, had no problems with the fact that they were told that the CIA was using torture programs. And it's just like, there's just people like that.
He's
just
a
like,
puppet. He's a puppet.
He's a puppet.
Fucking
and it's
puppet.
Just like, we become them when we allow these things to happen.
But look at the internet right now. Look at the internet right now. Take something like Alex Jones, and you already, I'm sure you discuss this all the time, but take that. And you say, well, look, this is, you know, some tricky territory here because now you're taking, you know, you're taking people completely off the internet, right? And then if you not defend him, but if you say, look, this is going a little too extreme because then they're going to do it to you next and they're going to do this guy next and they're going to, this is just the beginning. They're using some lunatic, crazy person that they have the narrative about, oh, he sent people to their houses and all of this. So okay, everyone hates Alex Jones. So if we get rid of him, then everyone's going to agree to it because he's dislikable. So they start with that. So if you bring that up, they go, you're defending that guy who celebrated child murder. And it's like, yo, you stupid fucking idiots. They're just so you tell them what to think and you tell them the narrative and they'll all repeat it like a fucking robot. And that's what they do.
They parrot it really hard. Yeah. What I find very interesting in America right now, we are consumed with murder entertainment. Yeah. And what most of this murder entertainment is the accusing and conviction of wrongly accused people, where these people didn't do it, and people get so mad that this conviction happened, let this innocent person go. But as conspiracy theorists, truth seekers, when we question this thing, they're like, somebody died. Stop questioning that. Yeah. That's disrespectful. And I go, well, Wouldn't you rather know who the actual murderer was and who was actually behind it and how is there a much darker thing at work? And they don't care. When you say kids die, they just shut down, don't question anything. I go, well, what if the people who are telling you the kids die may be behind the reason the kids are dying?
But they don't care that the kids died. They don't care. You know why? Because they only care when the kids die, when it fits their narrative, the kids died. Like, if they care when kids died, how come, you know how many times I posted about, look, these children were just fucking blown up by a US-led bomb, and they're dead. They're all dead. All these little kids are fucking dead and bloody. None of them give a fuck. None of them will even retweet it or care. But if the TV tells you, hey, kids are dead, and if, you know, this is terrible, oh, the kids are dead, let me put pictures up. And like, yo, but why don't you care that we're fucking murdering kids all over the fucking planet? You don't care because you don't give a fuck about nothing unless it fits your fucking narrative.
Yes.
You're all fake.
Or you're told to care about it.
Well, that's the thing, too. Now it's you're told to care. You know, it's like, you could have a fucking earthquake where 3,000 people died over, you know, I forgot what country it was. Oh, shit. But 3,000 people died. So I said, Jesus Christ, 3,000 people died from this earthquake. This was a couple years back. Nobody gave a fuck. But if you say, hey, there was an attack and 12 people died here, then people putting up the flags and the pictures. Or let's take Kenya, for instance. When the 159 kids, they went to school and killed all the kids in Kenya. How many people were changing their fucking profiles, the Kenyan flags, or even gave a fuck? Like, what, the Kenyan kids aren't as important as France or England or fucking United States?
Yes.
It's 159 kids in school fucking murdered with guns, cold blood, but they don't give a fuck about the kids. And
Until they're told to skim past
the article, but then if they put it on the TV and say, hey, care about the Kenyan kids, then of course they would care, but they're not told to care about the Kenyan kids. So we don't give a fuck about Kenyan kids? Why? Is it racist because they're black-skinned? Could be, but I think what you said, if you put it on the news and make a big fucking episode about it, then all of a sudden the Kenyan flags go up. But until they tell you to put the Kenyan flags up, you don't care about the dead kids. You don't care about any of them.
If you take a look at this mosque shooting and everything there, 100 dead at this moment, that's what they're telling us. And that's a super tragedy. But when you see people like Barack Obama, Chelsea Clinton, Hillary Clinton, all tweeting condolences, and you're like, yeah man, well, you know what's so interesting? You killed way more of that. We could just take one mission in which you did. I mean, there is, you know, I got a lot of shit when I kind of went to bat for Roseanne over that stupid tweet. And it wasn't that I agreed with the tweet. It was about the blackface. It's where I said the woman you're defending right now was instrumental in the decision to assassinate Muammar Gaddafi, which then basically led to open-air slave trades in which African-American people are being sold for $400 a thing. And the blowback, in particular from the black community in the United States, that I should shut the fuck up, I shouldn't fucking condone racism, when they didn't see the bigger picture, to the point I now see black comedians now doing jokes about buying these people for $400 on stage. And I'm like, where are we at here? What is blackface? It's like, I get it. It's this tragic moment in U.S. cinema and television and movies, but you're literally doing a joke about buying another human being. Something that you basically have told me is the worst thing that ever happened in this country, which I agree with. And I mean, if we take a look at the actual, what happened with slavery, Africans selling Africans, and the 1%, the Bill Gates, the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, just like today, they're the ones causing all the problems, owning the slaves. We don't ever look at that. We just look at that. Whites own blacks, and I've been told that it's the worst thing ever, and I will accept that. But when you do a joke about it now, it lets it go. I go, what the fuck is going on here? Is it just this tool you use to prop your act up, to try to get sympathy, or do you really give a fuck? Because this woman not only pushed Barack Obama, who was completely complicit into it, but she wanted him to do it quicker. And he was like, no, we got to hold off on this. We got to wait. She wanted him to assassinate Muammar Gaddafi earlier.
Oh, you're talking about the woman that Roseanne made the joke about?
Yeah.
Oh, but I think the uproar was about the fact that she used the Planet of the Apes, a racist terminology. I don't think they cared about who the actual person was. I'm not siding with nothing, but I think I don't think they were like, well, she's actually a bad, like you still shouldn't say racist shit about someone even if they're a bad person.
Well, I don't, my whole point is that bad person has done
horrible shit.
Worse shit. I mean, like, you could say making someone that Planet of the Apes is horrible, right? Yeah. But being complicit in open air slave trades, I think that trumps it a little
more. Well, go back to what you said with the Muslims and with Obama and all of them and Hillary saying, hey, you know, for the thing. What you're saying, the thing is, when Obama was in office, Obama was, you know, a likable person and he was well spoken and people liked him. So when they were out there starting four extra wars on top of the wars that we were already in, you know, I think when Bush was president, there was two wars. And then by the time, you know, Barack left, we were in seven different wars. But those same people that are so, you know, oh, you know, you said something bad or they didn't give a fuck when we were out there murdering and killing and bombing anybody because they wanted to like Barack. They wanted to like this likable, handsome, cool guy. They want, you know, it was a piece of history. First black president, you know. But, you know, anybody that does a little bit of research, you know the history behind the Democrats, and they're just as much as warmongers as the Republican. They kill, they murder all over the globe, and it's part of the business. So, but they want to keep it inside where they say, oh, Republicans are bad because they have these policies, but the Democrats are the good guys. But it's not true. We, you know, and anybody that does a little research know that the Democrats are just as bad. It's the same shit, you know, and a lot of ways worse. And you know, it is what it is.
Well, it's almost worse than that they sell us a different, they sell us an image. And then their actions don't fit that.
That is what makes it worse. At least the Republicans say the ignorant, stupid shit a lot of times, and they go, "Oh, that's the devil."
Yeah,
like they'll be the devil right in front of your face. Where the Democrats are like, "We're in bed with you, and we love you,
yeah.
and we got hot sauce, motherfuckers." They'll use a black person as their prop and say, hey, look, what's the girl's name running now?
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, she's one of them. She's locked up more black men than any
other person in the history of California.
I didn't know that one. See,
yeah.
See, you're dropping that on me. But what I'm saying is they'll use her and they'll use their racist ideologies and use all the racist shit that they do. And said, but it's a black woman, so it's a woman and a black person, so we can't be bad because we got her. That's the kind of politics they do, but they continue to do. You know, and here's the other thing is when there's a thing I talk about all the time because they say Republicans are, you know, switch sides, you know, after the civil rights movement. So the Republicans are racist and Democrats all of a sudden aren't the Ku Klux Klan anymore.
Yeah.
But that's not true either.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe Republicans switched certain parts of, you know, fan bases, which is true. You know, like a lot of racist people vote Republican. A lot of Klan members are fucking Republican. True.
Every Klan member's
Republican. That's not true. It's not true. But what I'm saying is the Democrats still come from, like, Al Gore's dad didn't go, I'm a Republican now. He stayed Democrat, and Al Gore's father was a big, huge Klan, Ku Klux Klan member burning crosses. That's Al Gore's dad. And then his son's in the fucking White House as a Democrat. They didn't switch sides. Like there's two sides to it. Like, just because your policy switched doesn't mean you and your family and your whole history are not the fucking Ku Klux Klan. You know, they try to act like that's not the case, but you know, it's...
For sure. I mean, like, you know...
Like, if you look at all the racist Ku Klux Klan members, they try to say, well, if you're educated, they switch... No, they didn't switch sides. But, you know, policies switch. So, okay, some racist people vote for this way, some racist people vote for that way. But the Democrat Ku Klux Klans and the Dixiecrats remain Democrats. They didn't go and turn into the Republican Party. So these are the descendants of the fucking Democrats of the Ku Klux Klan that were raised by. So a lot of these politicians were raised by Klan members and their grandfathers was Klan members. And yeah, maybe they're better, you know, a better person. Who knows? But it's still the goddamn Ku Klux Klans and the kids of the Ku Klux Klan. So now they're acting like one side's racist and one side's not. No, the Democrats are Ku Klux Klan and they're racist. You know, now Republicans are Ku Klux Klan and a racist. It's like now it's swarmed into one big pot of racist shit, you know?
Well, I mean, you sit down, you look at the policies that were passed by the Clintons. I mean, like the crime bill.
The most racist policies ever.
Of the crime bill, super predators. They were talking about black men. It was done with crack was basically created to sell to the poor blacks yeah. to lock them up. And yep. it's done on, I mean, like,
and three Hillary's, strikes and all of that shit under Bill Clinton.
And we were sold on it's going to get rid of these bad guys. And what they didn't tell us was that this is going to limit the ability of a judge to decide, like, listen, this is your third strike, but you sold a bike. You shouldn't be getting life. Yeah. Nope. Now yeah. you got life yeah, for yeah. stealing a fucking bike.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's done on fucking. Hillary basically was proud to be a Goldwater girl, yeah, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
and Goldwater fought against the civil rights movement.
And Hillary was all about the fence, you know?
Yeah.
She wanted, and Bill Clinton was very high on him, you know, keeping the immigrants out and all of that stuff. The shit that Bill Clinton and Hillary said was the same shit Trump says now. They're both on the same boat. They're the same bullshit. But what happens, if you say, yo, Democrats are devils, Republicans are devils, we need a third party. We need to figure out how to get rid of these fucking parties. Everyone will act like, oh, you're interfering and you're making the racist asshole Trump guy get elected. So if you try to say, I have to support something else because I'm not supporting these two fucking monster, you know.
Yeah.
The problem is, like you said, they follow what they're told. So if you say we need a third party system, they'll villainize. Look what they did to Susan Sarandon. It's
yeah.
like she said, I'm not voting for Hillary. I'm not voting for Trump. I don't like either of these guys. And they're like, it's your fault that fucking Trump is in the White House. It's your fault. It's your fault. And they really hate Susan Sarandon for saying, I'm not voting for fucking a Democrat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then what happened? Like, look, but now they love, how do you say her name? Ocasio or Cortez?
Yeah.
They love her.
AOC.
They love her. And they're all claiming, you know, Alexandria Ocasio Cortez. They're all claiming her. And she's all over the place. But you know, Susan Sarandon's the devil, right? Because she didn't get Hillary fucking elected. But they don't tell you that a big part of what got AOC elected was Susan Sarandon was in the Bronx. She was in the hood campaigning for her. Like, when nobody knew who she was, the news wouldn't even say her name because they wanted the old wrinkly white Democrat guy to fucking win.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't even mention her, wouldn't say her name, made sure that nobody covered her, didn't take her serious. The only one I ever saw of any was Susan Sarandon in the hood with AOC saying, yo, she's what the Bronx needs, she's what New York needs, this is my girl. And she was campaigning with her millions of followers, you know, taking pictures with her. And then when she gets elected and people think she's like this big champion for their movement, I thought Susan Sarandon was the devil. She's the one that helped get your girl elected. But they
that
won't
girl
mention
is
that
also
anymore.
Interesting too. Like, it's coming out more and more that she basically fucking answered a casting call to become this person that is, you know, my whole thing is like when
wait, go into that. What is that? I don't know what you're
AOC.
Talking. She got a casting call to be the.
She answered a casting call that was put out for basically a candidate, and she auditioned for that candidacy.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and dude, here's what I say, man. And you know, I think you're a liberal like me. I mean, we're old school liberals in terms of like love, peace. I just met you, so I'm just assuming based on what I've
yeah,
heard
I'm
so
a liberal.
Far.
I'm a liberal, but not what. Today they
whatever progressive
that.
Whatever that
yeah, progressive
like
is a
social
word,
justice
because I'm not a fucking Democrat ever.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah. So we're kind of the same, but I've very much learned when you see something covered so much in the news, whether it's Fox
there's
or
something, yeah.
something's up, and they're really pushing this chick, and then you find out that she entered a casting call and she fits
that's,
all
that's
this.
That's a fact, though.
Yeah.
How do you know
she
it's a
fact? She does the interviews it on it. Can you do that? Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not a fact, but it sounds kind of...
There's
a
whole video...
That sounds a conspiracy-ist, but I believe you.
Well, this is conspiracy
podcast. Yeah. No, that's what I mean. We're on here. I was like, is that a conspiracy?
Yeah.
The tinfoil hat guy.
Yeah.
She did a casting call.
The Democrat...
She was either going to be in Sharknado 5 or be the fucking mayor, you know?
The Democratic... go to... Democrat Socialist casting call of AOC. Democrat Socialist casting call. We'll get into Agent Orange in a couple.
I mean, what else could you say about Agent Orange? They poisoned us. They killed
everybody.
Well,
I mean, like, it's just like systematic too, dude. Yeah.
If you think the American soldiers got it bad, you should see what it did to the Vietnamese people
over
there. For sure.
But what you don't understand is like that shit was tested by Monsanto's in America before they took it anywhere. Dude, Florida, Kentucky, fucking Maryland, we're all tested on. Why do you think Florida's so fucked up? Yeah. Well, they got fucking Agent Orange before anyone else did it. If you take a look at this, the why he looks it up, basically the herbicide, interest in herbicides, and that's what That's what Agent Orange is. It's a herbicide. Now, there wasn't just Agent Orange either. There was like literally a rainbow of fucking shit. There was Agent Orange. There was Agent, where is it? Agent Orange, Agent Blue, Agent Pink, Agent Green, Agent Purple.
What did the other stuff do? What did the other stuff
They were just different variants of this.
They were weed killers. They're supposed to be weed killers.
I know what Agent Orange did, but
they were all just different chemicals they had.
I just never heard of Agent Pink or Agent Blue.
All of it was the rainbow, dude.
Well, the reason
it was a herbicide. They spray the crops to kill the crops. They put it in the water to kill the fish so there's nothing, so they could find the enemy and all that. Supposedly kill all the foliage. Yeah, but I never heard of Agent Pink.
Yeah. So the reason it was Agent Orange, because they were delivered in barrels, and that chemical would leave a ring on that barrel that was orange, and all the other chemicals would leave a different color.
Oh, so
when
blue,
it would leave
red,
a blue,
pink.
Red, pink, and they all were
but,
all
but
different
pink
chemicals.
Pink and blue and all that did the same exact shit.
No, they were just all like different,
all
a little
different.
Tweak, like a
but
little
this
tweak.
Was, orange
hold
was
up,
the
real
biggest.
Real quick, Nancy Dietz. I want to shout her out because it's an old friend from eighth grade that I know for years. She said, because I didn't know your show. I just, you know, you hit me up. I said, yeah, sure. She said, I'm listening to my fave podcast, Tinfoil Hat Pod with San Tripoli. And I heard you're going to be on it. So excited. Can't wait.
What's her name?
Nancy Dietz. Yeah.
Nancy, thank you so much for the kind words.
She said, I love the host, San Tripoli.
Oh, you're too
listen
nice.
Listen to every single one.
Nancy, you're a kind person. I appreciate the kind words, putting it in. The actual whole operation was called Rainbow Herbicides. It was Operation Ranch Hand. And the whole thing was to rob resources and places to hide of the Vietnam, man. Agent Orange was a mixture of plant-killing chemicals, herbicides, that were used during the Vietnam War. It was basically meant to remove tree covering, destroy crops, clear vegetation, and the perimeters around the U.S. base. It was over a nine-year period. 20 million gallons over 9 years was dumped on these fucking poor souls, man.
He said dumped on these fucking poor souls. Dumped on these fucking poor souls.
I'm sorry, dude. Exposure could have occurred when the chemicals are breathed in, ingested through food and drink, absorbed through the skin. Exposure may have been possible through the eyes, through breaking of the skin as well. So you hear stories of Vietnam's
You know what they did is when Agent Orange started getting known a little bit, they said to my father, they said, hey, yeah, you were in the right places. So my father, he was, you know, struggling, you know. So they said, hey, we'll sign this thing. We'll give you like, you know, $8,000 or $8,800 in the next, you know, to 4 years. So he was getting $2,200 check once a year for 4 years. That was the payment he got, you know. So.
Oh my god, dude!
For two dead kids and a dead grandkid, you know. So, and like I said, if you've seen my sister, she couldn't walk or talk. She just laid in the bed her whole life for 20-something years, 25 years, almost 26. So and then my brother was born the same way. They didn't say. They said, oh, Dee Dee's once in a lifetime. But then when my brother was born, he was the same exact as Dee Dee, but worse because he was blind as well. So, you know, that's your kids, and you're living with kids like that, you know, that can't walk or talk or see, you know. So, and some of the Vietnamese kids, they were born with, like, mutated heads and different limbs.
Oh,
and,
dude,
you know, like,
pictures like those bug eyes.
It's all real. It's all
people
real.
People make fun of, and you're like, dude, that's so disgusting. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's super fucking tragic, dude. Yeah, I'm going to find that video of OAC.
But you're a comedian, right? Do we got some comedy? Let's do a little comedy now.
Dude,
you know?
What do you want me to do? You want me to do prop work, dog?
Do you do magic tricks? You
got a deck of cards
or something?
Well, we're trying to just get out all the information on this. It was just like, yeah, I mean, like, people need to understand that this wasn't just done in Vietnam. This was tested on American soil. Fort Knox. I mean, like, it started in 1944, and it went all the way. Man, this is just crazy.
Well, my uncle Rooftop Richie, he just died, and when he was in...
I love that name, dude.
Rooftop, he's a legend. He passed away. Rest in peace, Rooftop. Richie
Rest
Calvecchio.
In peace.
But when he was in the Army, he went to Virginia, and they used to say, hey, if you want to go home to Brooklyn for a few days, let us, you know, put mustard gas on you, do all these experiments on you. And they used to do, you know, drug.
Yeah,
it's a true story. You could research it. They used to do all the, and he'd sit there and he, but it burns. And they clean it off. And like, they do all these fucked up experiments and torture things on, or you know, try out certain things. And if you'd have to sign off on it. And then he could go take a train to or plane to Brooklyn for 3-4 days, and then he'd have to come back. So for days off, he used to go to this thing, Edgewood Arsenal. That's if you Google Edgewood Arsenal, I'll get the exact name for you another time. They used to experiment on the soldiers, and you know, that was a true story too. So that was Rooftop used to go through that. You know,
dude.
At the time, he was a kid though. He's 18, 19 years old. You go, yo, I go have sex with my girlfriend in Brooklyn.
Here's some cash.
Okay. So put a blindfold on me. Put chemicals all over my body. And he said he'd be on a train the next day, and like his leg would be all fucking weird from whatever they put on him. He didn't know what none of this shit was. But that was what they were doing to the soldiers.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, well, dude. You know, in L.A., I did a joke in my last special. It was called Zero Fucks, and I basically talk about, like, you know, it's like when girls are young in this town, like they're 18, 19, 20, 21, when they're becoming artists, they do something called sugar dating where they're
hold up a second. It's Edgewood in Maryland. Maryland, and just put experiment on soldiers, you'll find it. I said Virginia, sorry about that.
No, I was just correcting myself.
Go ahead.
So they would do, like, they do this, like, sugar dating, which is like Christian prostitution, legalized prostitution. Well, guys can't do that, so they do something called chemical testing. They basically, we go down to like UCLA or whatever hospital, and they do tests on us, and they give you like a pill, they put some, and you see how you react to it for cash. So that's happening today within comedy.
I didn't even know that.
So when you see those commercials about could cause you know, dizziness, blindness, explosive diarrhea, they know that because that happened to a comedian at some point who had his weekend at the Chuckle Shack fucking canceled. So I had to make,
you know, comedians always got to be the victims, man. We're talking about soldiers being told Tortured and Agent Orange, kids dying. He's like, comedians go through it now too.
Yeah, dude.
He's like, the soldiers wasn't the only one.
So you looking it up?
Look, Edgewood in Maryland and put a experiment soldiers. You know, because it's Edgewood. I don't know the name.
You don't know. You don't know which one it is.
No, just put experiment on soldiers.
Okay, go back.
He's terrible at Google, man. Dude, you need a different assistant.
I had to get the English as second language.
Shit, there you go.
There we go. Yeah, click on that.
Click
on that. Read some of that stuff.
Yeah, that's it. Human experiments.
Look at that. Look at that. Okay, not to be confused with MK Ultra or a similar CIA project or Project 122-112, a similar military project taken under. Undertaken at the same time. So they had like 3 or 4 of these things going where they were testing everybody all the time.
Yep.
It's like insane.
Look, they put mustard gas and all that shit.
Let go down a little, but what do they do? They do chemical agents. Yeah. And like, nerve agents, mustard gas.
I thought they were doing drugs
LSD,
too. Yeah,
PCP,
see, there was drug stuff they was doing on them. Yes.
Oh,
mind controls.
Yeah.
Alcohol.
Caffeine. Someone's making them drink 1,000 cups of coffee. Right?
Yeah,
imagine you get to go to the CBD oil stuff and you're over there and then somebody's making you smoke PCP. It's like, which door do you go into determines how fucking weird your experiment is. So back to the Agent Orange real quick is like the big, obviously, we all know that Vietnam didn't happen unless an incident called the Gulf of Tonkin happened. And the Gulf of Tonkin later on was basically admitted to be a false flag. Yet again, a false flag that brings us into war, okay? It was basically, they said that
how else do we get into war? Every time, exactly. It's always a false flag.
You can watch basic press conference from the CFR where they basically are talking about how we're going to go to war with Iran. Yeah. And they're like, we're probably going to have to do a false flag to make this happen.
Of course. Yeah,
Like our you know, they call it our military defense. When was the last time it was a defense? really is the offense. We need to call it military offense because what it is. I mean, go back to 9/11. That obviously was allowed to happen by Dick Cheney. We know that Dick Cheney was behind that because we see testimony in front of Congress in which the Asian guy in charge of fucking U.S. transportation was saying, like, he saw Dick Cheney tell them not to intervene on the planes that were going towards the Pentagon. We have it all. So it's
is this on YouTube, your show?
Yes.
So what about the whole new shit about banning conspiracies? If you talk about 9/11 conspiracies, do they like, you know, make sure that your shit ain't going to get seen now and all that
well,
stuff?
Well, that's definitely a possibility.
You know, advertisers can't advertise on you.
Well,
I'm
they
sure, right?
They do some stuff where it's like, you know, if you look at your actual page, you have this you have a...
They won't ban it. It just won't show up on your recommended site. It just won't show up on the recommended.
You go to YT Studios.
So nobody's ever going to be able to find you unless they look for you.
Well, luckily the people who like this know where it is, but it's like, see, Green says that they... That's the dollar sign that basically support the podcast. Then you get X out. That means nothing.
So if
nothing.
You said something stupid or something, stupid to them. I mean, you know.
Well, the truth is, it's like they don't. They only ban people who tell the truth.
Yeah.
They're not like YouTube channels are out there saying the most disgusting things about groups. The Jews are behind it, the gays, all that. They don't get fucked with because they're agents of chaos. They get everybody to fight with each other, and that's what they want. Yep. It's like when you nail the truth, which is, okay, so we think YouTube is going after the truth. So we know they say one of the things they're going to go after is if you do remedies that cure stuff. And they're like, oh, that's, you know, that aren't true. Well, we know why you're doing that, because Google and YouTube is owned by pharmaceutical companies. So we agree with that. So 9/11, they say they're going to go after 9/11 videos. Why do we know that? Well, because they're going to go after those, because that shows the U.S. government, the CIA, all this stuff, the stuff that they don't want you to know, to not trust these agencies.
But that's also why they push the flat earther thing so much, because they know, everybody knows that's not true.
But why are they banning flat earth videos?
Well, I'm
now
telling you why. They're doing that because the majority of the world doesn't agree with that. And they feel like that's easily proven that the world is round. That's what they feel like. So... They push, look, flat earther, if you don't think they should ban videos, you must be crazy like these flat earthers. So they start off like the Alex Jones thing. They start off with something that most people agree with, you know? So then they go, oh, you're into conspiracy theories like flat earthers? Ha, ha, ha. No, like the fucking truth, you know? Like so what they do is they love to take fake conspiracies and bullshit conspiracies and mix them in with the truth and conspiracies that are most likely true. So then if you... talk about a conspiracy that might be true, they have you with all the fucking crazy conspiracies, and everyone looks at you like you must be them. Like if you go to Pizzagate, you know, oh, if you like Pizzagate, you must think that, I mean, if you want to question Pizzagate, that means that you might shoot up the place, and you think Hillary
promoted it, or
if you think Hillary has a sex slave thing, but you know, they won't acknowledge that there's actually verified emails that means something else.
Yeah.
Maybe it doesn't mean the extreme, you know, position that some of the Pizzagate people had. But what does it mean when you know, you're saying, hey, we have a hot tub full of children, 9 years old, 11 years old, and 7, and they're going to have the tub nice and warm for you, see you when we get there, and they got the kids' names and everything. That's a real verified email.
Yeah.
But they say, you know, something like Pizzagate's debunked. No, parts of it's debunked, like this might not have happened with Hillary or this and that, but what isn't debunked is what is the actual meaning behind the fucking Pizzagate email. But if you bring that up, then they go, oh, you're crazy like the guy that shot up a Pizzagate thing, and Pizzagate's fake, and anyone with a brain knows that Pizzagate's fake. It's like, yeah, part of it is, but the emails still exist and nobody knows what they mean. Now, if you break down the Pizzagate emails, which are verified and real, what do they mean? That hasn't been debunked yet. Nobody knows what it means.
Well, they've never actually even said what were in the... Like, Hillary never said what was in the emails wasn't real.
Yeah.
She only said that she got hacked.
Because they are. The emails
are real.
That's
the crazy thing.
They're verified 100%. But, like, if you go to the Pizzagate email, you go... Oh, yeah, we have what are some of them? Like
hot dogs.
Hey, we got 500 pizzas coming in.
I got $70,000 for a pizza.
Yeah, or the pizza stand in Hawaii where we met with the hot dogs. So maybe that's not a child ring, but is it maybe a high level politicians trying to get a prostitute? Who the fuck knows? It might be something simpler.
Right.
But there's all these coded emails that nobody has a fucking clue what any of them means. Right. Nobody knows what any of them means.
Right.
but it's debunked. No, it's not debunked.
No, they just say it's debunked.
But yeah, yeah.
It's not.
And if you bring it up, you really support this crazy, you know, like honestly, just me saying this now, people are going to be like, he's a Pizzagate supporter. No, I don't fucking believe half of the shit they say about Pizzagate.
Yeah.
But tell me what the emails mean. Somebody, they have not been, nobody has a clue. Nobody has a clue. And what does that one email look? Google that email about the fucking kid.
Well, you know the whole thing about the guy who shot up.
You know the email that I'm talking about, though?
Right? Yeah, dude. I'm sure.
Yeah, you're the podcast. But let's read it again. We plan to heat the pool, so a swim is a possibility. Bonnie will be Uber service to transport Ruby, Emerson, and how do you say Maeve? 11, 9, and 7.
Oh,
so you'll have some further entertainment, and they will be in the pool for sure. Like, what? That's not debunked. That's a real verified email.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Yeah.
Why are they writing emails? Why are politicians writing emails about 11-year-old, and 9-year-old, 7-year-old in the hot tub?
Yeah.
Like, what does the email mean? That's not a debunked email.
Right.
But yeah, okay, maybe, what's the guy named from Pizzagate? The Comet Pizza guy?
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't have a fucking... Yeah. thing under the basement with children. Okay, fuck it. But we're not talking about that. Let's talk about the emails, you know? But they get this distraction of, oh, they think Hillary Clinton's doing a sex ring out of D.C., so you don't pay attention to the actual fucking emails.
The name itself, Pizzagate, was used to discriminate. The kid who shot up the whole thing, if you actually...
He was an actor,
Well, no, if you actually look into who he was, him and his father... worked for this group called Habitat for Haiti that was funded by the Clintons.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like...
Wow, that's crazy.
And then you look at, like, you had Comet Ping Pong right there. You had Best of Pizza right there.
I saw all of those videos about that.
You know, and it's just like... And it's just like all that ring right there is all part of the same shit right there.
Yeah.
And James Elefantis and the weird shit on his...
Well, Elefantis likes weird shit.
Yeah, I mean, I like weird shit.
No, I mean, but like... But he you know, borderline, you know, on some weird shit. But, and the Podesta's like weird shit, you know, and it's all, that's all facts. But we don't know, you know, the extent of it.
Well,
you know,
we've done a show on the, you know how people always done the body count and the Clintons. Well, we did an episode on the connections that she's had to either indicted or convicted sex offenders. And the list is long, very long. And it's like, you have to be literally the most unlucky motherfucker in the world to be associated with so many fucking convicted pedophiles. That see, like, I went through a period, dude, where in about 3 years, I lost about 15 friends from drugs and alcohol. Well, I am a recovering alcoholic and addict, so I'm going to be surrounded by people who are going to die from health reasons, drugs, alcohol, poor heart. Like, there's a reason I'm connected to all those people. It wasn't just like this random guy just had all of his friends dying from alcohol, cocaine, and crack and heroin and all that shit.
Who's the guy, Norm MacDonald, used to make fun of? He said when Bill Clinton killed the president killed the guy. Who's the guy that
Norm MacDonald on?
Norm MacDonald, but who was the guy that died in the?
Oh, Vince Foster.
Oh yeah. I watched a little doc on that thing too.
Oh, dude, you can go back to how many people associated with the Clintons and the Haiti whole thing. How many of those people died? And just like this.
And wasn't there a smuggling children thing in Haiti too?
Laura Silsby, she was grabbing kids right off the corner, throwing them into trucks and trying to take off, and they stopped her. They convicted her in a court. Convicted.
But I don't believe you because they care about the kids.
Yeah, they care about...
They care so much about the kids.
Dude, the fact that nobody's has drawn a dick doodle on a Catholic church yet just lets me know that nobody... I mean, if you had as many kids getting molested and raped at a McDonald's, it would shut down McDonald's.
But that's true. But on the flip side of that is they do, you know, they make big Hollywood movies about it. They're not hiding that one. Like, the world knows, you know. They're not... That's not like... It's not like they're not against it. You know, I'm not, you know, the Catholic Church has too much power. They'll never be out of power. The Catholic Church has power forever, you know. What do you think the government should do because there's pedophiles in the Catholic Church? How do they handle that? Like if you find out one and the church doesn't cover it up, then I guess arrest the priest, obviously. But, like, how do you bring the Catholic Church down? Because obviously there's something fucking wrong with it, but how do you bring it down? and who's going to bring it down. So I'm not saying that, you know, some of the other things, I think there's more hidden things, but the Catholic Church is kind of out in the open, and the people who hide it is the Catholic Church themselves, because anytime somebody gets, they try to cover it up because they know this is going to, you know, take people's faith out of us. And, you know, the Catholic Church from day one was fucked up, you know.
Jesuits
and
have been fucking
running shit. There's nothing biblical
shit
about the Catholic yeah Church where, like, you shouldn't have a wife, you shouldn't, like, or you shouldn't be, you know, like, they make these men sexless for fucking 60 years, and that's why they go and say, oh, I don't like women, I don't like men, I'll go and be a priest. And then it's like, oh, no, you like children, you sick fuck.
Yeah,
you
just, that's the way to cover it up.
Yeah, yeah. But who's going to take the Catholic Church down? That's the big question.
Who's going to take down Penn State football? Didn't lose a minute of playing field time.
True.
Where is this?
Is that still going on at Penn State? No.
Do you know that?
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
Brian Singer is still directing fucking movies. If people cared, this wouldn't be happening. The movie that he helped start directing just won Best Picture of the Year,
and it wasn't even good.
It won something.
But it got nominated, and it won Best... A lot of
and
shit.
The lead
best actor, it was, you know, got 11 nominations.
Big thing is, like, they put these guys,
but let's go back to what you said before when they're told to care, you know, because then if you really want to go there, look at Polanski, look at all you know, look at the Weinsteins. They all knew what was going on with Weinstein ahead of time. Now to go like, oh, I took those pictures with Weinstein because I just didn't know. Everybody knew. The joke's been like, we're not even in that community, and we all know. Everybody knows. But when you look at that, like you see the footage of when Polanski won for The Pianist, and every single Hollywood legend is in there fucking standing, you know, every feminist is in, Polanski. They all, you know, praised him and gave him the Academy Award Oscar. I think he beat Scorsese that year. And then they're told, oh, look, Harvey Weinstein's butt, we this is bad. So now all of a sudden the Academy is like, oh, take Roman Polanski's award away, and now we give a fuck. You don't give a... And then they're all doing speeches that particular year after Weinstein got caught. It's like, you all knew the motherfucker was doing that, but now he gets caught and he can't do shit for your career. So now we're going to do fucking millions of Weinstein speeches and be anti-Roman Polanski. It's like, you care when you... let's take R. Kelly.
Michael Jackson. No one cared about Michael Jackson. He was holding hands with kids.
I'm on some conspiracy shit with that. I don't know if I believe that yet. But
you don't believe it?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. But R. Kelly, take that. Where, like, the woman who produced the R. Kelly show, she was doing cover stories for Vibe magazine, you know, praising how great R. Kelly is, and you know, doing she probably got a couple grand to do the cover story for Vibe magazine back in 2000, 17 years ago. But they all knew she was married to Aaliyah. He was married to Aaliyah. I was on Jive Records when Aaliyah and R. Kelly were on the label, and everybody there knew that was his girl, that was his wife. They all knew it. No, it was never hidden.
How old was she then?
She was a teenager. She was a legal teenager, you know. But I guess if you get married, it wasn't I don't know what the fuck it was. But everybody knew that was R. Kelly's girl, and it was no hidden secret. Now everyone's like, that's sick, fuck. It's like, yo, you were all promoting him, putting him in all, every. But now you're told to care, so now you give a fuck.
Yeah.
But they all knew, gave a fuck.
He got caught peeing on a teenager. I mean, like, and I've been peed on. After. I'm not judging it.
What? No, people still work with him after there was that video. Of him
everybody still worked with him.
And now,
every
now
single
they
person.
Don't fuck with
no,
him
no,
now.
Every single person yeah. worked with him still. That's what I'm saying. You're told what to care about, and then Lady Gaga, like, shit, I want to get the Oscar, but meanwhile, 3 years ago, she's rolling around on the floor with R. Kelly, way after he pissed on a fucking.
Yep.
Girl,
exactly.
Way after, but now she's like, I can't defend this. It's like, bitch, you did defend it. Stop it.
You did.
But she knows.
And made
more
money
than a video. This. Yep. They're doing bigger award shows, and this wasn't even like, if I work with R. Kelly, my career could get good. This was at her height of a career when she was bigger than fucking R. Kelly. You know, but with the R. Kelly thing is, with the Michael Jackson thing, he had the feds in his house for decades, man. He had them looking up his shit forever and ever. I know you guys probably think he's certified pedophile. I don't know if I believe
Who's this?
Michael.
Stand up.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe
well,
it.
Well,
I don't think it's normal to be around like that. But they've been, and I'm not saying he's innocent or guilty, but the TV show they did for HBO is full of shit. That's some horse shit because, that's like if you have an argument with somebody and you have one side of a fucking argument. I hate that kind of documentary where they won't interview anyone else except for the fucking one opinion that you want to give the world. And they left out so much critical information
like,
that wouldn't, like all of it. Like okay, You know, you see Brandy's doing all the interviews this week. Brandy Jackson, you know, the little niece, she was Wade's girlfriend from 12 to 20 years old the whole time, and they like just conveniently left all that out, and she like was in and out with the whole thing, and she's like, this never happened, it's never the boom boom boom, but they won't interview anyone that was like actually there.
But when
there
Janet Jackson comes out and LaToya,
that's the one clip. That's the one clip.
Of her saying she saw
No, she didn't say she saw.
She saw checks written out to these
people.
Yeah,
she saw a check from the mother. Yeah, okay, checks are written.
Okay, that's not and then what about the trial where a friend of mine, Lou Planka, testified at the trial. She saw him giving fucking kids straight up alcohol as kids. And then like he's saying he's sleeping with kids. Listen, man,
here's the thing is, I'm not saying yes or no, but I'm saying that there's no factual evidence and there's no proof of anything, and they made a documentary on HBO that's 4 hours long where they left out all the information from any other perspective. They just say, hey, we're going to have two people talk and we're only going to feed it's like a political documentary, like when you watch a Michael Moore movie where it's like only his agenda is portrayed. Like that, those aren't real documentaries to me. Those are like me just talking and giving my opinion and end of the day. And
we know if they asked the other people to come on? Because a lot of times people don't want. If you look at Making a Murder, none of the prosecution wanted to be a part of it. They didn't want to answer any questions. And then later on, when the film comes out, they're like,
documentarian, it's your responsibility to give the realist assessment of a situation.
You
don't just say. And I'm not just talking about the Michael doc anymore. I'm talking about all documentaries. You don't just say, this is what I want the world to believe, so I'm going to put dramatic music behind it and only portray one point of view. It's like, imagine, okay, say you had a fight with your girlfriend.
Right.
And she hates your guts. Imagine your girlfriend.
We'll call this Thursday.
Imagine what your girlfriend says to you break up with your girlfriend. Imagine what she says to her friends. And what they think about you. They think you're the worst piece of shit that ever lived. And imagine what you're saying to your boys about your girl. They think she's the worst piece of shit that ever lived.
Right, right.
So now you're getting one side of a... So imagine your ex-girl made a documentary about you, and that's all. And none of your friends, no one that was there, is allowed to have a point of view, and it's just her. You'd be fucking Hitler, Satan, and fucking Mao Zedong in one motherfucker. Yeah. You know?
But just a couple things real quick. One was... that my friend testifying, tell me about that. Two is my girlfriend produced a music video with him, and they went into his, when you know they were cleaning up, they went to his green room, and there were Tiger Beat magazines everywhere. And you could say what you want about that, but his actual words from his mouth is, I like to sleep in bed with children. Everybody should do that. That's the greatest way to show love to a child. Those are very interesting. Well,
I'm not for one second saying that, oh, that's normal.
Right.
I'm not saying that's normal. And I'm not saying, oh, I want my kids to sleep with Michael. I don't want my kids to sleep with or anybody.
Right. You don't have to worry about that.
But,
I would never do that.
But there's a difference between sleeping with kids and molesting kids. And if he's mentally ill where he believes he's a childlike person and it's a big sleepover party and he wants, you know, to these kids to live this amazing life that he didn't get to live as a child because, you know, his father beat him and he was abused. And you know, it's, you know, I'm going to show you this amazing life with, you know, that's a possibility that that's what was in his mind. You know, there's a possibility that it was innocence. And I'm not saying it is. I'm not defending anything. I'm not saying it. But what I'm saying is when you have the feds up your ass for 10 years, you know, doing raids in your place, looking at every fucking piece of everything possible. And WikiLeaks just leaked some of the, I don't know if it's a leak, but they just put out some of the Fed docs, you know, to show that they found not a goddamn thing the whole time. So what I'm saying is nothing incriminating except for his own words saying I like to sleep in the bed with kids, which no, don't sleep in a bed with kids, you fucking maniac.
I mean, he's an idiot.
But I'm just saying, is does that mean that the guy Wade, who literally said his whole life, like, this is the greatest man that ever lived, this is the my reason why I believe good and purity is in the world, like all this, you know, this is the greatest man that, you know, this is, you know, And then all of a sudden, and over again saying, no, he never did anything. He's my man, you know, blah, 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 boom. And I'm not saying that, you know. But
I mean, we see Stockholm Syndrome all the time. We see women who are beat by their men who, like, defend their men. And like,
So do we only believe when they say the side of the story that you want to believe? Which side of the story is true? If he lied for fucking 30 years, he said something bad. That must be the true version. Well, that's so which is the true version?
Kelly. That's where we are with R. Kelly. Some of the girls that live with him that are his girlfriends are saying
except
we're not.
Except we have a video of him peeing on a 14-year-old. I mean, that's not the same thing. And
R. Kelly got proof. There's proof of all the shit he did. Yeah. And he's alive and they're alive and all of this shit. It's like, there's all this stuff. It is a different story. But, you know, people will be watching like, oh, R.A. must just be like gassed by, you know, Michael being a celebrity and doesn't want this great iconic figure to, you know, be this terrible pedophile. No, I don't give a fuck. I'm just saying I need some kind of, if you're going to do documentaries, I just want a little bit more proof. I'm not even I'm a James Brown guy. I'm a Sam Cooke guy. I'm not even like Michael was,
Prince,
you know,
guy, dude.
Yeah, you know, I even was a guy that put Prince a little higher than Mike. But Mike.
You're just asking for more. For more in a documentary.
Oh, I keep doing this thing to you. Sorry.
It's fine, dude. I've accepted it. I'm cool with it.
He said, don't hit the table.
I love you with all my heart. Are there any, let's get outside of the, you know, the geopolitical, and I know, you know, it's pedophilia. I believe this, that's what you use to blackmail a lot of these people to play ball. And that when they no longer play ball, that's when we hear all the shit that comes out. They're expendable, and eventually. But is there anything outside that realm that you're somewhat into? Are you into alien or ghosts, or paranormal? You know, any of that stuff that's kind of interesting?
Well, I'm one of them guys that don't believe in too much of it. But you know, I don't think we're the only people in the universe. But I don't know if I believe that, like, aliens are in our backyard or nothing like that. But I'm not saying it's not possible, because anything's possible. And ghosts, I was like, shut the fuck up with ghosts. Right, I was never into ghosts, ever, ever, ever. But then one time I was in a hotel.
Here we go.
I was, what was the guy's name? Father Divine. There was this big mansion, you know, this reverend guy in Brooklyn had his hose, and supposedly his mansion was haunted. And we rented the mansion for a movie shoot, and my whole crew was like came in the room all fucking like looking like, oh, there's a ghost. They all thought ghosts were in the house. And I would sleep in the house every night by myself guarding the equipment. Like, I didn't think they were, I was, but anytime anybody in my crew was alone in the house, they'd be like, a ghost came, a ghost. I'm like, shut the fuck up, you know? And like, the neighbors would be like, you guys are in a spooky house. Like, everybody thought it was haunted. But I was there every night. Like, there ain't no fucking ghost here, get out of here. But my only one time that was fucked up, I was in Canada and they said, this hotel's haunted. So as I shut the fuck up, and supposedly the woman hung herself and, you know, blah, 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 and she's haunting the hotel and shit. So I'm like, I'll get the ghost bitch to suck my dick. Ha, 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 ha. I'm going to get a blowjob from the ghost hoe. You know, like, I'm making all these terrible jokes about the ghost hoe in the hotel. And
that's a great name for something.
And so I'm in my goddamn hotel. And I said, yo, give me the room that she killed herself, man.
You're dancing.
I don't believe in that bullshit. Let me see. Because they said people, like, run out the room. You know, like, nobody, you know, a lot of people don't, like that Stephen King movie, 1408 type of shit. I'm like, come on. Now that room's booked out tonight. I'm like, fuck. So they put me in a regular room. But that night, I kept hearing all this thumping around shit, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, yo, this is a
that
little.
That was you.
I'm like, this, yeah, it was me. I'm like, that's the ghost hole. I didn't bump the table once. That was my hard cock when the ghost was in me. But no. So then I heard all this fucking weird moans and mumbling and fucking thumping in my goddamn closet. And I was like, yo, this is weird. So I kind of kept I'm never scared. But I kept the closet on the light on that night. And the closet was making all funky fucking noises all night. And then, so when I took a shower the next day, or was it that night? I don't remember. I put my suitcase, and I put my laptop, you know, so I could hear music in the shower, because I don't want to put my laptop in the same room with the steam. So I put it right next to the door, and I was blasting the music. And I'm in the shower, and all of a sudden I hear like, "Whoo!" And the fucking laptop flies out the closet.
What? Shut up.
And I get out I'm like, what the fuck? And my laptop was like feet away, a few feet away from the thing upside down. I was like, what the fuck? So, but I had it in the closet next to the thing. So then when I'm leaving, I read the pamphlet, and The girl who died, she killed herself in the closet. And that's where all the crazy shit was happening.
Oh, my God.
So it wasn't the closet that she killed herself, but it was still a closet. So that shit was weird. I was like, I don't even believe in ghosts, but this shit was a weird-ass night. Like, that was a weird fucking night, you know? I wish I remembered the city it was in. If I call
my
boy.
Seems like, I mean, like, you know, it's so interesting. I was at the Comedy Store. I tell these stories a lot, but I was in the green room in the back by myself. I hear basically the handle to the shower turns, the water starts. I've seen spirits move in front of lights. I've had two documented, just in this show, where I've done stuff in certain places, and just weird shit flies in front of the camera. It was one who was in Edmonton and one was at the Comedy Store. And it's like, that's an old fucking mob hit place, abortion clinics, all that shit. Like, fucking shit.
Yo, you think it was dead fetus ghosts? Like, third trimester or whatever?
I mean, at some point it's a child and, you know, you get to that. But I believe early on that, you know,
the dead fetuses coming for you.
Ooh. I have a theory that a lot of the, and I'm going to get killed for this, but a part of the pro-life movement is some dark arts in that, you know, these kids get born and these parents, you know, they want give them up for adoption and then they become part of this system where they have no one actually watching after them. And we see over and over and over again, kids getting just disappearing. And you've seen, like, Kansas last year, 300 kids, I think, disappeared that they can't account for. Right. Like, where do these kids go? What happens to them? And that's a great way if you're forcing people to have kids that they don't necessarily want, that they get thrown into a system that they go. Speaking of hangings, there's been a lot of hangings with these. That was a shift, I know.
Speaking of ghosts, yeah. We're not off the ghost shit yet.
Yeah, go on.
Did you read Bobby Brown's book when he fucked a ghost?
No, what?
Bobby Brown had sex with a ghost. Well, I don't know if it's real, but he swears that a ghost came and he had sex with a ghost. It was real. He fucked the ghost.
Do you know how many women are marrying ghosts? They like marry ghosts. This one chick just said she had to break up with the ghost pirate that she had married.
Did you ever see The Entity with Barbara Hershey?
No.
She gets raped by a ghost the whole movie. It's a pretty great movie. It's a big Hollywood movie,
pretty
too.
Pretty great movie. But a lot of these hangings are
happening. Yeah. He Googled it. Bobby Brown had sex with a ghost. It was true, man.
When
I don't know.
Was
that's the only ghost
happened.
Story I believe. I don't believe ghost stories, but Bobby definitely fucked a ghost. But okay, hangings. You said there's a lot of hangings in the world.
We've seen, like, with hangings, some celebrities, the guy from Prodigy, Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade, Chris Cornell, Chester.
It's all hangings? I didn't know.
All hangings, dude. Like, it's very weird that is the way.
And Jussie Smollett did a hanging, too, but it wasn't a real hanging.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
he just had the noose. Like, yeah, I almost
who
got
walks
hung,
around
man.
With a noose like that?
You take it off, right?
Did you know that was phony from the start?
I knew it was phony. I mean, the problem with that is that's the problem is you're not allowed to say shit because I've seen some people say, hey, this isn't real. And everybody that said that, they go, oh, you must hate, you know, gay people. You must hate black people. And like even, you know, Tariq Nasheed, you know him. He didn't say anything about the stunt. And then, like, Tevin Campbell and all these people going at him, like, saying, like, yo, how dare you not say anything? He was attacked, and that's your brother. You must hate gay people. And then, like, Vibe magazine did this thing, like, why the black community not defending Jussie Smollett is a problem. And, you know, Tariq was like, yo, like, I don't see the proof yet. So then when it came out that it was a hoax, he said, you know, I think some of you people owe me a little bit of apology. So, you know, you're not allowed, you know, if you didn't say, hey, you know, there's a good kid and he got attacked and then, you know, you turn into this villain that hates his kind. That wasn't just white people. It wasn't even, you're racist. It was like I said, Tariq. They said, you must be homophobic because you didn't come out and Vibe wrote the article. Black men who didn't defend them is a problem. And it's like, come on, man. Like, people are allowed to have an opinion if they think something's real or not, you know?
Yeah, so. And this quick knee-jerk reaction and then this decision never to defend and not to admit. I mean, we saw it back when newspapers were very big. Like, they would put out a rape charge or somebody was charged. And then when it turned out wasn't true, page 17 would be the apology.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's the main thing is with the internet today. They all put these fake stories and they tweet these fake stories. And not just Smollett, everything. They put the fake first reaction up. And then when it's debunked, there's no retractions ever. Ever, you know, like, and if it is, it's like you said, in the very, very back or at the end of the fucking article, and like the person who tweeted some fake fucking nonsense isn't going to be like, well, I'm sorry that, you know, once in a while that'll happen, but the majority, they are not retracting shit, and they'll just pretend like that thing didn't happen, and they'll move on to the next fucking bullshit narrative that they want to follow that there's a good chance isn't even fucking real.
Right.
You know, but they want to follow that narrative, so they're, hey, look, this is true too. Like, it, okay, let's go, like, I'll say something real, real fucking stupid and silly one. Like, somebody put on Facebook the other day about, you know, Jay-Z being a Satan worshiper. Okay, you know, he wore the Aleister Crowley shirt or whatever. Okay, I got you.
Some dark arts involved in that, dude.
Yeah, and some of the visuals. Okay, we get that. But the article that the kid posted was straight up fake news. It was like, Jay-Z says Christ is fake news and Satan is the prime leader of the world. Like, it was like some ridiculously fake headline that Jay-Z didn't say, you know?
Right.
So I said, hey, you know, if you want to push the narrative, at least don't put a fake news article. This is a verified, it's not a real quote.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they go, oh, we're watching you, and you, you know, you're a Satan worshiper too then, if you're defending him. I'm like, I'm not even defending Jay on this. I'm defending the fact, I'm critiquing the fact that you're putting fake articles to start some motherfucking narrative. Like, you know, at least use a truthful, verified quote or something where you see it coming out of his fucking mouth saying it that's not edited. And then, okay, you got a story. But when you just want some random, you know, the fake news articles that be popping up.
Oh, they'll grab a little clip.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'll use a
quote that was made up for some, you know,
Obama passed that propaganda law that allowed the U.S. government to use propaganda against its own population.
Yeah, what was the law called?
Here, can you look it up? And it's basically like when it's really slick looking bullshit, that's when I think, okay, that might be done by something.
Yeah, but you know, Operation Mockingbird never ended. That's real. That's still going on.
Look at MSNBC, liberal news, and how many war hawks they keep hiring.
Of course.
That Minka woman in the morning, her father, the woman who does Morning Joe, her father was instrumental in implicating the neocon, fucking foreign policy of just basically divide and conquer and destroy all these Muslim countries.
And look. Okay, so a MSNBC type of organization, they are up Trump's ass. They critique every little fucking small move he ever does, right? From big moves to small moves. If Donald Trump does something wrong, they're going to say something, right? The only time they had Donald Trump's back is when he started bombing the motherfucking country. And remember when he did the first...
Yeah, Afghanistan, the mother of all bombs.
Yeah, what was the bomb again called? But that bomb, he bombed. And then MSNBC was like, he looks presidential for the first time. Yeah. They really said that. Yeah. Like, and CNN, he looks presidential because this is what he should have did. It's like, so we critique every stupid thing the guy does. If he says something dumb on Twitter, we critique it. But if he fucking murders, you know, a whole fucking, you know, how many people died in that drop? 80, whatever. It was civilians died. How many civilians was it? Whatever it is. So he's murdering people. And then all of a sudden, now he's presidential. So it's like, critique everything he does, except for when he's fucking killing people. It's like
right here, yeah.
That's where people brainwash too. It's like that's where they get it. Like, if you critique Donald Trump on bombing children, then his supporters come out and say, "Oh, he didn't kill like Obama." Yeah, he killed. You know, he killed a lot of people. And that's the bottom line. And like, when Obama was killing people, they would say, oh, but Bush started it. That's why he's killing. And it's like, no, but he's still killing.
Yeah.
You know, and now Bush didn't start it because he's starting all these wars that Bush didn't start. So what's the excuse for them? Oh, we're going to be quiet on that. They're not going to fucking talk about that. You know, so it's all hypocritical.
And
they brainwash you with the political parties because you want to like Trump so bad because you voted for him and you defended him so he could do anything wrong. And you want to like Obama so bad because you supported him and he's the guy you voted for and you don't want to be wrong. So you allow these people to do all these horrific acts all over the planet fucking Earth, and you continue to defend them and continue to defend them and continue to defend them and continue to insult and hate the other guy. So your guy's the good guy and the other guy's the bad guy. Meanwhile, you know, like, look at Trump supporters, what they say about Obama. Look what Obama's supporters say about Trump. But neither of those fan bases will say the same thing about their own candidate. They act like the Virgin Mary.
The Me Too movement
here is
a great movement like that. It's like the demonization of this other group of people, particularly men. And we've seen it with the Time's Up woman who ran Time's Up.
Oh, yeah,
and
she was pushing
it. And then she got into it, but there's a group called Time's Up, and it was ran by this one movie woman, and then her son got accused, and then she quit the group.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And we see it all the time. Yeah. Judd Apatow's very good about that.
He's a fucking the stupidest human being ever. Well, I can't deal with Judd Apatow.
Judd Apatow?
That's like the most like self-righteous, clueless Hollywood. Oh, man. Like, did you ever read anything he says? Like.
Oh, yeah. Went at him.
Oh, you should have. Like I never said, like, anytime he tweets or says anything, I'm like, why does this guy, it's like, ignorance is bliss. That's his brain is just complete ignorance and cluelessness.
Well, you always know his side, which is definitely anti-white guy.
Well, I don't know. I didn't even hear any anti-white guy. He only goes
after those people. Like, he's friends with Andy.
That's not true though, but because like you know, R. Kelly, Michael Jackson, Bill Cosby, you know, he'll definitely, you know, write this.
Acceptable, you know, targets.
Acceptable black talk.
Like, he's not going to get any pushback on that. I mean, these guys have all been accused of stuff, whether it's like Andy Dick, Leah Dunham, who openly admits to molesting her sister and falsely accusing somebody of rape. I mean, like, these people that, like, he won't go after them. But the minute somebody who's, quote unquote, on the other side, he'll go out. It just feeds the narrative. It's an agent of chaos.
Yeah, but that's how everybody is. That's the problem with today. They won't go after anybody on their own side of the argument. They have to go only. Oh, look at everything that ever happens. Any kind of tragedy that happens, everybody will go and blame this side, and this guy will blame this side, and, you know, they'll make, no matter what happens, they'll make an argument for the opposite side is responsible for it, no matter what the argument is, no matter what the tragedy is. That's just what it is, you know? And they you know, they'll take quotes that somebody said to villainize them. It's just...
And we see a lot of this is a lot of these kids are trust fund kids that the parents that basically made money in what they're railing against, whether it's war, propaganda, greed, pharmaceuticals, and they get put into these positions where they become the face of the left, the liberal movement, like, and they don't push it at all.
This
guy couldn't even be the guy that basically joked about being a serial killer to be more likable. That's somebody's tweets, not mine. So they basically he lost to him. And now he's going to run for office. Do you look at his record? He has completely voted Republican. He's a Democrat that voted completely Republican. He voted with George Bush over and over and over again. And you're basically, he's running as a liberal because just like that to him seems like an easier sell. Never trust a very attractive, good-looking liberal who's saying they're running to trust fund kid, who's saying they're running to change the system because their family has made money off the system. Why would he want to change a system that is fucking working in his favor?
Yeah.
Whether it's Obama, Trudeau, Beto, Kamala Harris, we can go on forever of people. I'm not saying ugly Republicans should be trusted, but I'm just saying when these people are really attractive and they want to change the system, you look where they're from, who you know, what their families did. So much of these trust fund kids, whether it's Amy Schumer, her uncle, cousin, or whatever he is Chuck Schumer, made money completely in bullshit politics and fucking into war, basically. Nick Kroll's dad, very high up in fucking, he runs a thing called, Black Cube Intelligence. It's fucking a lot of money into that fucking thing. You know, arms and intelligence and all that shit. You can look at all these people who are the front of this liberal movement and who their parents are. Now, my dad wasn't perfect, so I would get very mad if people judge me by my father's fucking actions, but I'm also not the head of a fucking like liberal movement. I don't live in a private gated community and have a bodyguard with guns telling everybody fuck walls and get rid of fucking guns. You know, I mean, it's like there's no hypocrisy to that. You got to really look at who's pushing the narrative here, and that's just my opinion, you know, on that whole shit. So what else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I don't know enough about how you say his name?
Beto.
Yeah, I don't know his voting, you know, background. They don't tell you that stuff.
What's your take on Bernie Sanders?
They just say that he skateboards and he's cool and he had a rock band or something like that, you know. Bernie's hit or miss for me. Some things I like about Bernie, but then, you know, like when they really fucked him over, he just, you know, took it in the ass and was like, hey, Hillary's cool still, you know. So, you know, come on, man.
As an American who lives in Europe.
Yeah.
What is your take on European healthcare?
Well, here's the thing is my kids were born in Germany. They're dual citizens. And, you know, they tax the hell out of you, you know. But my kids have free health care. They ever get sick, when they were born, it didn't cost us a nickel. You know, when you know, they send a woman to your house to take care of the what's that called? You know, the woman that comes to your house, the mid person.
Yeah, they're coming
to your house and they're giving you free delivery. And then you go see the doctor every week to check out how your kid's doing. And then they have kindergarten at like 10 months old. Your kids are taken care of for 8 hours a day by these, you know, these German women taking care of your kids every day. And you know, and then if they want to go to college, they got free college, all of that stuff.
What's your take on that?
But I love that. But on the flip side of that is... you know, she gets 15%, you know, my wife is a school teacher out there. So they take 15% out of her money for health care. So that's more than it would cost if she did it herself, 15% of all everything she makes. And then they tax her like another 30%. It's like 50% tax for all of her money. So like everything sounds great, but like they were like, hey, since you live over there with your kids a lot of the time, do you want to start opening up bank accounts here and paying taxes here so you could buy property here? I'm like, yeah, sure. But then they're like, oh, you got to pay German taxes instead of American taxes. And I'm like, maybe I'll stay doing the American thing. You know what I mean? So I don't know if I want to give up half of every nickel I make, you know, so I'm staying on the American side, and I pay for my own health care, and I you know, do all of that. But, my children are taken care of because their mother works in Germany and pays German taxes. So I'd be a hypocrite if I'm saying I'm against the system when I'm living off of it. With my children are living off of it. But I just would rather, for me, live it like this. So I don't know.
The standard of living, how is that? With them taking, let's say, 50% of your thing. I think taxation is theft.
Here's the problem with America too is that you know, the healthcare in America is so overpriced. It's like 20 times everywhere else. So they say, oh, we need free healthcare, but what we really need is affordable healthcare. Maybe free healthcare one day, but free healthcare would be easier if the fucking healthcare was affordable, but they'll never make it affordable because the pharmaceutical industry out here is crazy. Like if you go to Germany and you get your teeth done and whitened and fixed and all that shit, it'll cost you $180. Over here, it's, you know, boom. I did a show in Germany. I broke my fucking leg. And I went to the hospital, got an x-ray, got a doctor, got crutches, you know, all of that shit. It cost me like 95 euros. You know, if that shit should happen here, what would it be, like $4,000, $3,000, you know? So so if you get sick over there, you get medicine. So I don't even have healthcare over there, but I could afford the shit, you know, whatever the fuck we need, it's affordable over there. So, you know, and I believe, taxation is theft because, and especially when the United States takes all your money to use it to warmonger.
Yeah.
So a lot of people say, hey, raise taxes for the 1%, raise taxes for the rich, raise taxes on Americans. But the problem is then the government is going to get your money. And would you really think they're going to save the children and save the world and do great things? No, that's not what they're going to use the money for. They're going to use the money to blow up people and murder people and keep the war machine going. So, like, what are you paying your taxes to and what are you paying your taxes for in America? You know what I mean? So. If they wasn't so corrupt and they said, you know, we're going to raise the taxes and everyone's going to have health care and this is going to happen, it's really would get put into place to conversation of a possibility that I might agree on, but that'll never happen here, you know? So
what is Germany's take on the United States? We don't ever hear the outside take.
Well, Germany and the whole world copies American media. So, you know, when they love the president, you know, when they love Obama, they love America. You know, it's like the whole planet, not just Germany, wherever it is. So if America's saying our president's great, you know, in the media, they're going to love our president. If they say our president's just, you know, grab the pussy, you know, scumbag fuck that's illiterate and an idiot, they're going to hate the president, you know? So, you know, it don't matter what the policies are, it's what the media feeds them. And it's the same thing like you figure like, oh, America was so brain dead because we follow the Kim Kardashians and we give a fuck what these idiots think. And you go over there and you'll be in Denmark and you go, oh, Kim Kardashian's ass is on it. You know, they follow what we do all over the world. And then, but they act like, since their media is telling them the same shit our media is telling, they don't know that. They think like, oh, see, we're original thought because we're from this original thinking country. No, you're all fucking programmed worldwide. The program is worldwide. It's not no like, this country's more, you know, no, they're all the same. And look, it's you know, Hollywood movies, Hollywood music, this, that, it's all, It's programming.
Do they follow our politics pretty close in Germany, or is it
Well, they follow the politics off of what the TV tells them, the same as America. Yeah, we follow the politics of what the TV tells us.
Right.
So if the TV says something, that's what they follow, and that's what everyone will have the same fucking... And yeah, the world follows U.S. politics more than anywhere else.
That's so... Well, they follow...
The world also followed Brexit, obviously, too. You know, that was...
What's your take on that?
On Brexit? Well, I don't live there. I don't understand it. You know, but the thing is, I don't want a one world government. I don't want
That's what seems to be anti one world government. It seems to be breaking up.
So if it was America and you said, look, we're gonna have Canada and Mexico and all the countries around us all blend and have the same, you know, leadership and the same, you know, money system. I don't know if I would want that to happen. I'm not in England. Supposedly there's a, you know, part of being of the European, you know, what's it called? The European system, the union, you know, the union. There you go. Jesus Christ. For you that don't know, I just flew, got off my airplane flight and came right the fuck here in an hour.
Well, we love you, dude.
I came directly here. And I've been traveling for the last 3 days. Crazy, crazy travel. So my brain's a little fucked up right now. But yeah, the European Union, I don't live there. So I don't know. What's better for the people over there? I'm not following, you know, the policies over there really well. But I do know that they turned it into a racial thing where some people go, if you believe in Brexit, you're racist. And some people go, no, Brexit is racist because they, you know, used these kind of talking points to make the people fearmonger, to make them vote. So I'm not there. So I don't really know. I don't really have a true opinion on it. But all I know is the last thing I always want is the whole world to become a one government type of world. So maybe countries breaking apart from each other is a better thing than a worse thing, you know? But I don't know.
Because it sounds great, like we're all one people, but then you start to realize when you go one world order that, like, certain laws that you really love get taken out, like right to privacy in the United States.
And it's given the powerful people more power because they run the whole fucking planet rather than just a section of the planet, you know? So,
Okay, I know that Goodbye America, here it is. So there's actually a belief that George Bush signed a deal that dissolved the United States and made us into, like, basically one territory with Canada, the United States,
and Mexico. They're saying that actually might have happened, yes. but nobody knows it?
Yeah, they kept it hush-hush.
Yeah, but you never goddamn know. They lie about every goddamn thing, so you never, 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 never know, you know?
Yeah, dude. Well, I've enjoyed you on the show. I'm so thankful you took time to fly in, and we're gonna go tonight. We're gonna watch Jimmy Dore. I got you in on that.
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of Jimmy Dore. Yeah, I watched some of his clips, and he's really on point. Really smart guy. I really like him. I really like his show. And they're not afraid to say the wrong things that they're not supposed to say. They say what they believe. You know?
As a man who has a pretty, I just checked out your YouTube. You have a pretty awesome YouTube channel. What's your take on the censorship of you two as we wrap it up?
I'm against all of that. I think that human beings should have a voice, you know?
We were just talking about how he didn't like how Instagram and all that shit and Facebook, no nude pictures and shit. He's like, that's why I like Twitter. Remember we were talking about
that? No, that's why I say I like Twitter the best, because you can go on there and see a girl's pussy.
Yeah,
you can
no
see
censorship.
Some ass and titties.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
It used to be hardcore porn.
But Twitter's definitely censored, but I'm just saying no porn censored. No, they still got hardcore porn on Twitter.
Yeah.
Totally, yep. But, I think that a crazy psychopath should be allowed to have a fucking voice. I think you should be able to say what the fuck you're allowed to say. And here's the thing, too. Even the smartest people of all time can do an hour-long speech and be incorrect. And their opinion could be completely fucking wrong. But they're allowed to have a wrong opinion. Everybody has opinions. We all disagree. That's the world. I'm going to disagree with you on a ton of shit if we sat in a room together. You know, I'm going to disagree with you on a ton of shit. That's part of opinions and having voices. And when you're trying to take away certain voices, and I saw the thing where they were saying that the YouTube woman said her son listens to conservative people or some shit, and she wished she could take the conservatives off. And I'm like, you know, I don't like half these conservative speakers, but let the motherfuckers have voices. And the best thing to do is say, okay, I don't agree with that motherfucker. Like, yo, you know what I watched the other day, which was crazy? Lester Maddox, I think that's his name. The racist fucking Ku Klux Klan. Lester Maddox, if you Google him, he was I'm probably saying his name wrong. But they had him on Dick Cavett with Jim Brown. And Jim Brown's there, smooth as a fan, cool as a, yeah, Lester Maddox. You know, so yeah, Democrat, of course, because he was the Klan, like I said back then.
Yeah.
But Lester Maddox is on the fucking Dick Cavett show with Jim Brown. And Jim Brown's just having a calm, cool conversation with this dude and knowing he's a piece of shit. And anybody watching him will say, you know, anybody that's a normal thinking person can make their opinion and go, this guy's a piece of shit. Period.
Yeah.
So they're not, you know, let a motherfucker have a voice. Let Jim Brown tell him how he feels.
Yeah.
You know, when you have everybody disguising their real truth.
I like to know who the assholes are. When you push it below, I don't get to know who the scumbags are.
There you go.
I would rather have everybody know. I'd like to know you're racist. Yeah. And I can fucking decide whether you might want you in my life or not.
That's what you need. Now we have everybody wearing fake masks.
Yeah. You're only promoting liars.
You don't know who the fuck is who or what's. Let the fucking devil be the fucking devil and let us see the devil's face.
Yeah,
don't hide the devil's face.
Keep promoting liars. We're making entertainment like fucking politics where only liars can get through.
Yep.
And that's bad. And dude, I hear this a lot. Like, oh, I'm tired of these YouTube videos. Compared to what? The mainstream media that gets busted lying over and over again. You get mad at a guy who spends 2, 3, 4 hours busting his hump out to fucking put out a video. Yeah. Guess what? If you see 3 videos that he's lying on, block him on the YouTube. Yeah. Unfollow. Don't do that, man. I mean,
I think a lot of that comes from a more the mainstream narrative where they go, oh, you must like YouTube.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha. You know, and I really think that's also the same thing where like, you know, it's part of the brainwashing. You got to be on a big network to be a real voice. You know, meanwhile, that's all the manipulated fake voices. And it's the same thing with music where they'll go like, oh, he's just a SoundCloud rapper. Not me, because I'm OG.
I'm past
the SoundCloud shit. But like the new kids coming up, yeah, they start a fucking SoundCloud page. Motherfucker, let the young kid do his SoundCloud and maybe he will shine. And maybe he'll be better than all the fucking highly, you know, the guy that's doing Saturday Night Live or whatever. Maybe that SoundCloud kid is the kid. But, you know, I think they're threatened by a small voice trying to be a big voice because it's not the big voice yet.
They can't control it. There's this whole theory that a lot of these guys are getting taken out right now. It happens after that, whether you're talking Michael Jackson, Louis C.K., fucking R. Kelly, Prince, all these guys that kind of like, they were these big stars.
Well, what's going on with Prince now?
Okay. Well, Prince is dead, but the whole theory was like when they started putting out their own projects,
it's
kind of like when something bad happened to them because they got off the corporate nipple. They stopped making these people who run everything money, and were made a fucking example of.
Well, Lupe Fiasco, you know, he was considered one of the great lyricists. You know, he was more past my era. Like, he was a guy that came kind of more in a newer era, but like, he was super lyrical. And then he did, you know, the Obama administration let him do the inauguration in 2012, and he did this whole rap for like 30 minutes about the Gaza Strip and don't bomb, you know, you're bombing and doing this, and, you know, did this statement against, you know, bombing, you know, Palestine and all of this shit. And what do you hear about him these days? Ever since that, you know.
It was just that song Superstar. Yeah, he came out with that song Superstar, and you're right, this is his last album.
You don't hear about Lupe since the inauguration
too much. What is that young girl who was like 15 that was this amazing singer out of like Ireland or whatever her name was?
I'm not sure who that is.
She what? Fucking what is her name? But she basically came out and said, I don't want to, I'm not going to play Israel. And you haven't heard from her yet.
Oh, yeah. Who was that girl? Oh. Was she the girl that did the...
We are.
Yeah. I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about. I remember that happening.
Yeah, she was the first person ever to be nominated for an Emmy, yes, and not be allowed to play at the Emmys, meaning her song was up. No.
I forgot what the fuck
is her name. Dude, she's an amazing singer. You're like, holy shit, this girl jams. All right, guys, I'm sure you guys will hit me up and tell me what it is. I hope you guys enjoyed this. It's been a couple months in the work to get R.A. on. We appreciate him coming on, and we'll do it again soon next time you're in. I appreciate you, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much, R.A. Right. Thank you for your friend for putting in the nice words for us.
Nancy Teets.
Nancy.
She watches every one of your shows. Nancy. I've never even heard of your fucking show. She watched every one of them.
Nancy, we appreciate you. Till next time, and guys, we'll see you on the other side. Hey, Arizona, Tucson. Grab those tickets, man. Let's pack this out so we can come back again. You guys are the best. Thank you, Aaron. We'll talk to you soon.